How many here tonight are excited about God's Word?
Amen.
All right. The Word of God is powerful and effective, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. The theme for this month has been relentless pursuit. Relentless pursuit. And let me ask you tonight, think about this question. What are you pursuing relentlessly and following hard after in your life? Think about that question. Don't answer it verbally, but think about it. What are you pursuing relentlessly and following hard after? You know, so many Christians, so-called Christians in the world, in America, in Tulsa, say they are pursuing Christ, but they are following hard after their careers, their investments, their houses, their boats. They say they are pursuing Christ, but the majority of their time spent on materialistic pleasures betrays what their heart is really pursuing. You know, some Christians pursue their spouse to the point of idolizing that other person. It's not right. And maybe tonight in your own little world, perhaps you say that you follow Christ, but maybe you are pursuing love and acceptance in all the wrong places, like being intimate with somebody who is not your spouse. Maybe you've had a hard past. Maybe you lost something dear to you. Maybe you lost a relationship. Maybe you lost a job, a career, some money. And you've had a really difficult past. All right? And now you're pursuing drugs to get that high. You're pursuing alcohol to forget the abusive past. And maybe you've had an abusive childhood. Maybe it was an abusive adult relationship, and you're looking for a boost in self-esteem, and so you're doing certain things to get that boost, and you're pursuing education little by little, whatever it is. Only God knows. It's between you and God what you're pursuing. But my question to you tonight is this: why not instead pursue God relentlessly in prayer, in thought, in your actions, and He will be the true love of your life. He will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will give you the grace and the strength to forget the past. So as I said, a lot of people turn to alcohol. They pursue alcohol to forget the past, to dull their minds, so they won't remember the past hurts. But if you pursue God in relationship, He'll give you His grace. He'll give you His strength to forget the past and move on with the better thing that He's got for your life. You need a boost in self-esteem? Know that the Creator of this universe loves you so very much. The Creator of this universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, loves you specifically. If that's not a boost to your self-esteem, I don't know what is. Isn't that good news? You got to remember that God is faithful and God has got your back. We need to relentlessly pursue relationship with God. I want to visit an Old Testament character tonight who followed hard after God. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Let's talk about an Old Testament character who followed hard after God. It's found in Genesis chapter 5. Verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. And it's talking about Enoch, the seventh in line from Adam. And it says in verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. So Enoch was 65 years old when he had Methuselah, and then he walked with God 300 years. Isn't that awesome? That's a long time of consistently pursuing God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God was always on his heart. God was always on his mind. He pursued God. He relentlessly pursued God 24/7 for 300 years. And really, he lived out half his days, because at these times, people lived to be 800 and 900 plus years old. And then God took him away. He was no more. He walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. You know, he lived a life with God that no other man lived, so he left this earth like no other man left this earth. He lived a life in connection with God like no other man lived. And so he left this earth in a way that no other man died or left this earth. That's awesome, isn't it? Enoch walked with God. He had a consistent walk 300 years on this earth, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So my question tonight is this: what does it mean to walk with God? We're going to discuss it. What does it mean to walk with the Almighty God? All right, number one, the ungodly walk contrary to God, but those who walk with God presupposes reconciliation to God. For two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Amos 3:3. So if you're going to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, you have first got to be reconciled to God. And friend, maybe you've never reconciled your life to God. Maybe right now your life is not right with Christ. At the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you accepted Jesus at some point in the past, but maybe you've slipped away from God. Tonight, you'll have the opportunity to make it right with Jesus. Remember, to start your walk with God, you've got to first be reconciled to God. Remember our forefathers, Adam and Eve. You know, God put them in a beautiful garden of Eden, and he said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The serpent in Genesis 3 came to the woman. She ate of the fruit. She gave some to her husband, and sin entered the world. They were separated from God. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came over 2,000 years ago to reconcile us back to God. So to begin your walk with God, like Enoch walked with God, you've got to be reconciled to God by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. All right, so say it with me. To walk with God, I've got to first be reconciled to the Almighty God. Amen. All right, number two, to walk with God is to act as those who are constantly aware that that God's eyes are always on them. If you're really going to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, if you're relentlessly going to pursue God like Enoch relentlessly pursued God, you've got to constantly be aware. You've got to have this constant awareness that God's eyes are always on you. You've got to realize that God sees every little thing that you do. You've got to realize that God sees every little thought that you think. You've got to realize that God hears every little word that you speak. And if you have this constant awareness that God sees your every action, your every thought, your every word, then you're going to be careful. You're going to do what's pleasing to Him. You know, if you know that God is always looking on you, what are you going to do in your actions? Instead of hurting others, you're going to help others. If you know that God is thinking, is sees your every thought, instead of thinking impure thoughts, you're going to think godly thoughts, Christ-like thoughts, pure thoughts. Because if you're really pursuing a relationship with God, if you're really walking with God like Enoch walked with God, you're going to do what's pleasing. You're going to try to do what is pleasing to God. If you know that God's eyes are always on you, you're going to make sure that your words are pure, that they're encouraging, that they're uplifting. You see what I'm saying? So those who are walking with God have this constant awareness that God's eyes are always on them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, I'm going to personalize it. God's eyes are always on you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Number three, to walk with God is to live a life of communion and fellowship with God. Now, how do you build that relationship with your best human friend? You communicate with them verbally, right? You spend time with them. In the same way, how do you build your relationship with God? How do you relentlessly pursue God like Enoch did? You commune with God in prayer. If you've got a problem, if you've got a trial, if you've got a hardship, if something is going on in your life that you need help with, just speak it out to God. As you're going about your daily activity, say, my God, you know, God, I'm having this problem in my life. I just lost this job. I just lost this relationship, God, and I don't know what to do. Just pray to God and God will respond. Spending time with God in prayer, always talking to God. Being open to communicating with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A lot of people have this mindset that they pray to God 5 minutes in the morning. No. Think about God all day. Talk with God throughout the day when you need to. Is that making sense here tonight? All right, number four, to walk with God is to make His Word our rule book for daily living. To walk with God means to make His Word, His written Word, the Bible, our rule book for daily living. His Word is His will. It's lining up our lives with His will, with His design for us, according to His written Word. Is that making sense? If you're walking with God, if you're relentlessly pursuing God like Enoch did, you'll be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter time, not just at Christmas time, but you'll be in the Word of God daily, a number of times every week. It doesn't have to be numbers of chapters that you read every day, but you should read at least a few scriptures every day. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes, sir.
To walk with God is to work for God. If you're really pursuing God relentlessly, if you're walking with God like Enoch walked with God, you are going to be a worker for the Almighty God. You are going to tell others about this awesome relationship that you have with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
This is what it means to walk with God. See, Scripture doesn't say that Enoch lived, but that he walked with God. His every moment was consumed with the Almighty God. Let me say it again. The Word doesn't say that Enoch lived, but it says that Enoch walked with God. His every moment of those 300 years after he had Methuselah was consumed with the Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? I want my life to be consumed with God. How about you? I'm preaching to myself tonight. All right. I want to spend the next few minutes talking about a major facet of Enoch's walk with God. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11. The last few minutes I want to spend in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. And it says this. He's referring back to Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. Hebrews 11, verses 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And in context, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God because anybody who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if Enoch was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith it's impossible to please God, verse 6, then it goes to say that Enoch pleased God because what? Because he had strong faith in God. Is that making sense? In verse 5, if he was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith it's impossible to please God, it means that he pleased God because he had faith in God. His walk with God, Genesis chapter 5, was a walk of faith. Amen? You see, Enoch believed that God existed, according to verse 6 of Hebrews 11. And because he diligently sought God, because he relentlessly pursued God, his reward was that he did not have to suffer physical death. He lived a super ordinary life with God, and so he left this earth in a super ordinary way. He was bodily translated from this world to the next. Isn't that awesome? And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, according to Hebrews 11, verses 5 through 6, if you are going to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, if you are going to relentlessly pursue God like Enoch relentlessly pursued God, you have got to have faith in God like Enoch had faith in God. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
You have got to believe that God exists just like Enoch believed that. You know, the thing is this. God has got special blessings in store for you. God has got a miracle in store for your life. God has got something awesome in store for you.
Yes,
He's got a gift in store for you. But first, you have got to believe that the giver of gifts exists before you can receive any gift from his hands. How can you receive a gift from someone that you don't even believe exists? Is that making sense? So like Enoch, you've got to believe that God exists. That's part of faith. You know, if you know that God's eyes are on you, as we talked about, if you're following God's word, if you're reading his word, if you're praying to God on a consistent basis, if you're doing all in your life to please him, it shows that you are carefully searching after him. It shows that you're pursuing him. It shows that you're trusting him. It shows that you have faith in God like Enoch had faith in God. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
And God is looking for what kind of faith in you and me? God is looking for that childlike faith. Think about a little girl, 2 or 3 years old. She loves her daddy and her daddy loves her. He comes home from work at night and he knocks on the door. She gets excited. She runs to the door. She opens to the door and she opens the door and runs into his arms. She's got full faith and trust in daddy. She doesn't doubt daddy's goodness for even a moment. She knows that her daddy provides shelter, that her daddy provides her food, that her daddy provides the bed that she sleeps on. She has full faith, confidence, and trust in her daddy. She doesn't doubt his goodness for even a moment in time. And it's got to be the same with us. God is looking for that childlike faith in you and in me. We must not doubt his goodness or his power for even a moment in our lives. And that's the way Enoch lived. He had that childlike faith, never doubting the goodness nor the power of God. Is that good news? God is looking for childlike faith. And then God is looking for persevering, relentless faith. I believe that Enoch had a persevering and relentless faith in God. After all, he pursued God for 300 years. The scripture says it. He walked with God for 300 years and then was no more because God took him. Isn't that awesome? His reward for diligently searching after God was what?
It was good, sir.
His reward for diligently searching after God was that he escaped the suffering of physical death.
Yes.
He was bodily translated from this world to the next. That's awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
So God is looking for a childlike faith. God is looking for a persevering, relentless faith. Romans chapter 4. How many know about Abraham? Abraham of the Old Testament. Romans chapter 4. God told Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. Abraham was 75 years old when God promised to make him into a great nation. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. So Abraham was 75 years old when God promised to make him into a great nation. When the promised son Isaac was born, through whom the great nation would come, how old was Abraham? When his son Isaac was born, through whom the great nation would come, how old was Abraham?
1991.
He was 100 years old. So if you take 100 minus 75, it's 25. Abraham waited 25 years for the promised son. 25 years. So Romans 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20 of Romans 4. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He didn't waver those 25 years through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. I'm here to ask you tonight, what has God promised you in your life personally? What promise has God given to you personally in your life? Has he promised you a better job? Has he promised you more finances? Has he promised you reconciliation of that broken physical human relationship? Has he promised you healing in your sick body? What has God promised to you specifically? I'm here to tell you tonight, you might have been waiting 6 months, or maybe you've been waiting a year. Maybe you've been waiting 2 years or 5 years, and you're about to give up. You're like, my goodness, I can't wait anymore. I'm weakening in my faith. But friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, when you get weak on the inside, cry out to God, and He will give you His grace and His strength to hold on. After all, Abraham waited 25 years for the promised son, and you've waited 6 months. Don't give up. God is looking for relentless, persevering faith. God will fulfill in your life the thing that He has promised you specifically. He will fulfill it, but He wants to see relentless and persevering faith, a faith that does not quit, does not give up. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And then God rewards those that pursue Him diligently. As I said earlier, how did God reward Enoch?
Silver.
He rewarded Enoch by taking him up. He did not have to experience physical death and suffering like most men, like all men. Is that making sense here tonight? So if you're relentlessly pursuing God, if your faith in God is strong and your heart after God, if you're pursuing Him hard, guess what? God is going to fulfill that miracle in your life. Matthew chapter 9, just one example. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Matthew 9, 27 through 30. It's about two blind men. We'll close it off with this. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They said something more like, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. They had a confident faith. They had a strong faith. They had believed that Jesus could heal them. They had knowledge about Jesus because they said to Him, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They had been waiting for their miracle. They had not given up on waiting for their miracle. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, don't give up on waiting for your miracle. They received the very thing that they had been waiting for, physical sight. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means He never changes. The Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago can do a miracle in your life tonight. He will fulfill the promise that He has given to you specifically. Be it health, reconciliation, a job, finances, whatever it might be in your life. He rewards those that diligently, carefully seek Him. Have faith in Him. Amen? You know, if you honor God, what honors God? What honors God? Faith. Faith honors God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you honor God with your faith, God honors faith, and He will bring about that miracle, that blessing in your life. Could you say amen tonight?
Amen.